Good morning, Shiloh.
Good morning.
It's one thing to sing, and it's another to talk. Well, I'm here this morning to introduce our speaker for the day. Growing up back home in Liberia, I almost joined the Providence Baptist Church because of our speaker. Now, when you're a young man coming up and you find a church where the young people are so much zealous in knowing God, in doing God's work, you always want to be there. But the only hold on I had was his friend and brother was my youth minister, so I couldn't go anywhere. But yet and still, people still think and know that I'm a member of Providence Baptist Church back home in Liberia. And I accept it because it's a Baptist church. I'm a Baptist brother as well. And the Providence Baptist Church is the oldest church, Baptist church in Liberia, as well as my church, the Effort Baptist Church, is the second oldest Baptist church in the Baptist Compact. So it's a great pleasure and honor to introduce my pastor this morning from Liberia. There are so many things I can tell you about him, but I will choose not to tell you some of them. And one thing I'll choose not to tell you is that he's a committed man of God. He's very determined. I'm not going to tell you how humble he is. I'm not going to tell you also that he did attend and graduated from the Liberia Baptist Theological Seminary in Liberia. And I'm not going to tell you also that he attended the Princeton University here in New Jersey and earned a degree. I'm not going to tell you also that he is married to beautiful Miss Mary Wilson, who used to be my neighbor. And I'm not going to tell you also that presently he serves as the youth director at the Providence Baptist Church. But what I'm going to tell you is he's a child of God, and he's here to break the word. So let us all open our hearts and receive him as we do here at Shiloh and give God the honor and the glory. Amen. Amen. Our speaker for the hour today is Reverend Thomas Wilson.
Just before Reverend Wilson comes, I have to do the pastor's job. I can't kneel as down as far as he can. But we need to excuse the children for youth church. So, children, please come forward.
O thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, a home in affliction I call, my comfort thy day's sun in the night, hope, salvation, and all. I want to thank God for just one more day. One more day that he has allowed me, he has allowed all of us to behold his glory. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind still on Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm still looking up to the hills from whence coming my help. Let me use this time to say how humble I am this morning to be at Charlotte Baptist Church. And I want to say a big thank you to your pastor, Reverend Armstrong, for this unique blessing and privilege to share God's word. And to the officers and members of this great church, I want to also extend my thanks to you. The name Shiloh Baptist Church is a household name in Liberia. It's a household name. You are a living church. And I want to thank God for what you are doing across the borders of America. Souls have been blessed. Kingdom and structures have been converted to the Lordship because of your prayer support and blessings to the Providence Baptist Church. And my pastor is also grateful. Let me say a big thank you to the young man who introduced me. He's a very humble man. Still in the presence of God. Thank you, Brother Duo. This morning I came to service with one of our members from Providence. He got in on yesterday from Liberia. Brother Cornell, please stand. He works directly with me in my office. I want to welcome him. And I want to say a big thank you to the team of Shiloh Baptist Church that visited Liberia during the course of last year. That was a great team. And on that team, we had Deacon Marcella Smith and his wife. And we were so blessed that he made it to Liberia. And since then, I've been in touch with him. His family has given me a place in their home and heart. I'm grateful to him and Deacon Jerry as well, who was so kind to bring me over when I came to the United States here to worship. Amen. It is preaching time. Right. I want you to kindly stand with me in honor of God's word. I wish to call your attention to a passage of scripture in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 37. Acts 15, verse 37. I just want to read just one verse. And Barnabas determined to take with him John Mark, whose name was Mark. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the collective meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Deacon, I hope I won't stay too long. Yeah. This morning, I will share with you on the theme, a second chance. Right. A second chance. I will ask that you just turn to the person either on your right or left and say to that person, a second chance. Amen. Church, I find it relatively difficult to preach this sermon without sharing a story my own personal life story. So kindly forgive me this morning, but that's my conviction. In 2010, while serving at the Providence Baptist Church, just graduated from the seminary, God blessed me with a merit-based scholarship to attend the Princeton Theological Seminary. And as a young man, I was humbled and blessed by the opportunity. I always prayed that one day God will give me the opportunity to study in the United States. And when God called me to serve at Providence, I started off as a janitor. And I was pleased. My family was pleased. The church was happy. My pastor was happy. Completed every formality needed for the scholarship. I was granted my I-20. And I walked up to the counselor at the embassy in Liberia. Stood before him and he said to me, "Young man, great scholarship, but I'm not just convinced that you can cope up with the studies in the United States. So I'm sorry that your application is denied. You can reapply." Few weeks following that day, I reapplied and stood before him for the second time. And he looked directly into my eyes and said, "I'm not convinced that you are a minister of the gospel. Probably you try to make up so that you can make use of the opportunity. I'm sorry that I can't grant you a visa to the United States. And sir, I will advise that you quit every attempt because my word is founder." Dr. Cleo LaRue, professor at the Princeton Theological Seminary, called me up on the telephone and said, "Thomas, that's not the final word for God." All right. He said, "I am determined to get you over for studies. I don't know how, but I will use every available means." He contacted Pastor David Jefferson of the Metropolitan Baptist Church. And Dr. Jefferson contacted the late Congressman Payne. I didn't meet him. And Congressman Payne said, "Dr. Jefferson, I have not seen this young man before, but we need to give him a chance. So I will take on his case." And he wrote the ambassador and said, "Thomas, go back." And I make my third attempt and was granted the visa. I came over to the United States and I studied. Following my studies, it took me just 3 weeks. I returned home to serve and make my contribution to the rebuilding process of Liberia. I'm grateful for the opportunity to study at Princeton. But I made it not because of my strength. I made it not because of my education. I made it because somebody looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Somebody saw it within me, God's potential. That was unripe, and said, "Give him a chance so that he can use that which God has deposited in him and serve." So that every time I thought I had the opportunity to preach, I share my story. Thank God for the second chance. That young man, or that young woman is still out there and feel that life has nothing for him at all, because somebody refused to give him a whole a second chance. The first mistake that was made, that was it. He or she was cast out. Some families are disintegrated because of the lack of second chance. The story before us this morning highlights the importance of a second chance. Historically, we want to note two important events. The church has just concluded the Jerusalem Conference. And we also see in the passage under consideration the commencement of Paul and Barnabas' second missionary journey. The church had to meet because there were some who tried to mix tradition with salvation. There were some who felt that the believers had to go through the Mosaic law, that a salvation was not free. You must be circumcised and sit on the map of tradition, even though you have been saved. And there were some in the church who said, no, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, one who Christ sets free is free indeed. So the church met and came up with a proposed statement that leave the believers alone. And that gave Paul and Barnabas the impetus to take on the second missionary journey. And as they stood and discussed, Barnabas said to Paul, there is a need to take John Mark with us. And Paul said, no. John Mark was with us on the first missionary journey, but he deserted us and returned home. This time is a time for business. I am not prepared to take John Mark on this journey. But Barnabas said, no. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. He said, my nature cannot allow me to leave this young man behind. Paul, you have forgotten too soon that when the church neglected you, I was the same one who held your hand and brought you over to the believers. I took you to Antioch and introduced you to the church. And because of my second chance, you are who you are today. And so I must give this young man a second chance. And Paul said, no, he who puts his hands to the plow and turns around is not worked for the kingdom of God. So the Bible said that there was a sharp disagreement. We have no understanding regarding the reason why John Mark departed. But my understanding is that he was a young man, probably he was homesick and needed to see mama. So he left. But Barnabas saw in John Mark hope, light beyond the tunnel. He decided to give this young man a second chance and told Paul, you can go on with ministry, but let me stop and help somebody so that my living cannot be in vain. I love the quote of John Maxwell. He said, all of the certificates of recognition we receive in life will one day be destroyed. The monuments we built will crumble. The trophies we receive will corrode. But what we do for others will make a lasting impact on our world. I need to give this man a second chance. Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. I have no understanding how long John Mark stayed with Barnabas in Cyprus. But as a theologian, deacon, I want to read into the text that probably it took 3 years. Because the number 3 is always associated with preparation in the Bible. How do I know? God called out to Samuel three times, preparing Samuel for the task that was ahead. When Nehemiah went to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, he took 3 days to prepare himself. Jesus took 3 years to prepare his disciples for ministry. 3 years in the tomb, preparing himself for the resurrection. So it is our understanding that Mark took 3 years to prepare himself. And he made a comeback. John Mark made a comeback. Sometime in Paul's ministry, he called out for John Mark. In 2 Timothy 4:11, he said, I want you to bring me John Mark. That man is non-profitable to my ministry. I regretted the moment I said to him that he was nobody for ministry. John Mark was profitable because somebody afforded him a second chance. John Mark did not stop there. After his ministry with Barnabas, he traveled along with the Apostle Peter to Rome as his personal secretary. As Peter preached, John Mark recorded the gospel event of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When John Mark returned home, he sat and composed a book that we now refer to as the Gospel According to St. Mark. And because of that gospel, thousands have come to the realization that Jesus Christ is Lord. Kingdoms and structures have been converted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. John Mark made it because somebody afforded him a second chance. He did not stop there. John Mark traveled to Africa. It is recorded within the history of the Coptic Church that John Mark was the first missionary to take the gospel to Egypt. Today, the gospel still survives among the people in Egypt. And as the result of his work, people are being saved. John Mark made a comeback. John Mark was able to release God's potential. John Mark was able to realize that God has made him for the purpose because somebody did not give up on him. Someone looked beyond his faults and identified his name. So John Mark is recorded in the Bible as a story because of Barnabas. My brothers and my sisters, mothers and fathers, I have no understanding what you are going through today. Trials may be dark on every side. The valleys of life are so deep. The mountains are so high. You want to throw in the towel and quit? But I stop by on my preaching journey this morning to remind you that there is still a second chance. The God you serve is either you may be knocked down but not knocked out. God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has not given up on you here. You are here because of a second chance. Mama might have prayed for you. A teacher might have given you a second chance. The gospel of Jesus Christ is our second chance. Someone said that we were sinking deep in sin, far from the peace for sure. Deeply stained within and sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the water he lifted me. The gospel, the Bible story, from Genesis to Revelation, is just all about second chance. In Job's condition, he said to his believers,
Friends, that I still know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. In Hannah's situation, she knew that God was still her gynecologist. Habakkuk says that he's the fifth in the midst of my darkness. The psalmist said that the Lord is still my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The gospel according to St. Mark referred to him as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Paul said he's the grass in the midst of my storm, the midst of my pains. I don't know how you call him this morning, but he's Jesus. Before time he existed, in time he took on the form of man. He was born to the Virgin Mary. Grew up in Palestine. As age 30, he began his ministry. He called upon himself 12 men to serve in his ministry. At age 33, he was crucified. He died on the cross. He was buried. But that was not the end of the story. My Bible tells me that on the Sunday morning, he arose for power, might, and strength. He's now seated at the right side of God in heaven. And he said unto you, my brothers, my sister, come unto me. All ye that labored and have ever lived in, I will give you rest. Along the songwriter that said, come ye disconsolate, whatever your language. Come to his mercy, see far from the need. He'll bring the wound that has yet told your anguish. And has no sorrow that heaven cannot solve or remove. And because of God's second chance, I may have trials and problems. Difficulties about tomorrow. But I can still sing what a friend we have in Jesus. All of the sins and grief to bear. For the privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Are you weak and heavy laden? Come up with the Lord of prayer. Jesus is still your second chin. Come on, my brothers and sisters. God is still able. He's a strength in the time of weakness. He reached out to you in the valley and hold your hands. Don't quit on God. He's able. He's able. He's able. Wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. He will give you wings so you may mount up this eagle. You shall run and not get weary. Walk and not faint. He's a second chance.